Welcome to the Investor Coaching Show, a podcast to help you get an insider's view of the financial world and escape common investment traps. We look at the financial news of the day and help you make sense of it so you can relax about money. And here's your host, Paul Winkler.
And we're back here. PaulWinkler.com is where you can get the podcast on a regular basis whenever you want to be. If you miss segments of the show, by all means, and go and download them right there and look at if you like reading, and as well as the videos and the blog and the book segments and all of that good stuff. The financial planning book segments are there. I'm trying to get myself to write another chapter. I got to get it done. So, folks, if you're sitting there going, when are you going to get a dog on another? I'll get it done. Listening to the Investor Coaching Show right now, though, so don't go to the website right now. Just listen to the show, okay? Now, JR, sending me an article, and this is a good, he said, this is custom made for you. He says, he was funny, JR's funny. I know you better than your wife does. I know what articles. And I was like, JR, that's scary, you know? I know what articles you're going to like.
Yeah.
And I do think this is a good article.
Stalking is a crime.
This article is the two things that are most likely wrecking your retirement savings.
Uh-oh.
It was two things that are causing people not to have enough money in retirement. And you look at, I don't know, the retirement data is all over the place. You know, you find a lot of people are absolutely not in any kind of position to retire with any level of comfort, or they're going to have to take a big pay cut when they go into retirement.
Yep.
And, you know, some people have to be forced into retirement, you know, simply because of the fact that they have declining health before they thought they would, or is maybe a person, significant other that they're taking care of, has declining health and they have to quit early, or maybe they get to the point where they're just like, I can't do this job anymore, I don't want to do this job anymore, whatever. But there comes a point in time when you're going to probably look in the mirror and go, that's it. I've had enough. And, you know, some people say, I'll never get there because I really love what I do. Oh, you know what? Your job may become obsolete. It may not be something where you have that choice. But the two culprits is the roof over your head and the car in your driveway. Remind me of any books that you read. Remember The Millionaire Next Door, guys?
Tom Stanley.
Did you guys read that?
Oh, I sure did. I have a dog-eared copy.
Yeah.
Great book.
I mean, it just... dead on. I mean, I remember the guy down in Texas. He's looking, he's going down to Texas and he's at the, cattle farm, I think, he's down there and the guy goes, you're probably looking for me. I'm just imagining what his voice was like, right? He goes, and he's like dressed in like overalls and, bib overalls. I can imagine it. And, yeah, kind of a beat up shirt and, looking all disheveled. And he says, I don't look like a millionaire. And, most of those people live in those fancy houses, driving those fancy cars, big hat, no cattle.
Yep.
And, so often.
Well, the story that sticks out in my mind is when they rented the penthouse apartment, the penthouse room in the hotel, and they had like a big spread with caviar and all top shelf drinks and everything else. And guy walks in and he's offering, said, would you like something to drink? He says, yeah, I'll take a Budweiser.
That's right.
And they had like Heineken's and all this expensive beer. And it's like, just a Budweiser? There's only two kinds of beer that I drink, Bud and whatever's free.
That's right. And I ain't eating caviar. It isn't going to be caviar. No, and it was like, give me a burger and potato chips or something like that. That's it.
Right.
They'd rather eat that.
Yeah.
It wasn't the fancy foods. I was like, no. And it threw the person doing the research for an absolute loop.
Yeah.
I mean, he was just like, I had no idea. That is not what I thought of. When I thought of rich, I thought of caviar and high-end foods and champagne and those types of things. It wasn't, Budweiser and,
Yeah.
So what they're finding is that, you think about housing. I mean, housing is such a huge thing.
Yeah.
And why is it, guys? Why is it that so often we live above our means and much, much nicer houses than probably we should be in, or driving much, much nicer cars?
prestige bias.
There's a they've got a term for it.
Yeah,
and prestige bias does not just exist with the houses you live in or the cars that you drive. It's some people will invest in things because there's prestige involved.
Right. Yeah. But if you think about it, you know, we were talking about watches earlier. If people didn't buy things for prestige, you know, Rolex wouldn't exist and everybody would own a Timex.
Yeah. I mean, much better. It keeps better time by far, much more accurate.
Yes.
You know, my iWatch is Apple Watch, not iWatch. Apple Watch is way more accurate.
Yeah.
I don't ever have to worry about that it stopped winding or, you know, that I need winding or anything.
My mind wandered to the old Timex ads, you know.
Takes a licking.
We put this watch on a, you know, a German Shepherd and drug it behind the ski boat for 30 yards and it's still like, what?
Yeah, well, try that with your Rolex.
takes a licking, keeps
That's
on
right.
ticking.
I mean, you know, when I talk to clients about that from a planning standpoint.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, this is kind of interesting. Oftentimes, the clients that are in a better position come into the office and they're worried that they're not in a good position. And, you know, well, all we've done is, you know, we've got our house paid for and this, and we kind of started late and said, no, wait, hang on.
Yeah.
You've got your house paid for?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, we got that done because, you know, and I said, you guys can retire.
That's you. Yeah.
And I don't care if it's a $200,000 house or a $900,000 house. If they own it free and clear, when they're walking into the office, typically they're able to retire because it speaks to the behaviors over 30 years that lead them to be okay. I mean, it's the biggest common denominator to a successful retirement.
Well, it's interesting you say that because I also think as you were talking that the fact that they're worried about it tells me that they're planners in the first place.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. I tell people, I like the idea of debt-free living, but the mortgage is something that I would tell people, I would make sure we're funding the retirement plans first, maxing out the retirement plans first, before focusing on throwing extra principal to pay the house off faster.
Yeah.
Because they need the cash, they need the liquid assets in order to generate income in retirement, where if they're short on the cash side, then they might not be able to have the retirement they want to have.
And, you know, the reality of it is when you put those extra payments toward the mortgage, you know, you're investing in real estate is the way I like to put it. Because if I need to get that money back out because I'm disabled, I lost my job or whatever calamities come up, I've got to sell the house or I got to refinance. And that is typically not possible if you're disabled.
Right.
You know, so.
But I think, you know, I think on the car side, and certainly it's, you know, prestige bias or keeping up with the Joneses, whatever term you want to use, is I think people just that aren't prepared financially, let me qualify that, they look at the monthly number. They don't look at the total cost. And successful people, people that have accumulated a lot of wealth, they look at the total cost. Now, they may spread it out over time, you know, like a mortgage or something. They crunch the numbers, but they're not looking at $375 a month. They're looking at, you want me to pay $90,000 for a pickup truck? You know, I mean, they're looking at the total cost, and they think differently. I think that's they drive it till it falls apart.
You guys ever look at, like, for example, the bank will lend you money up to 37% or something like that.
36 or 37 for a house. And
Of whatever your income
total,
is. So your
total
payment is 37%
like
of your income.
41% or something, yeah.
Yeah, it's something like that. Do you ever go to people and say, well, this is what the bank, and you find that people will just buy a house up to that number because the bank says they could?
Yeah.
I have too. I'm just wondering if you did.
Not
as
in
well.
The office. I have conversations with those people.
Right. Not with our typically our clients aren't that way, but you know, I just find in general, I'm just talking about conversations in general with people out there that, you know, maybe
My son and his wife, they live in England, so they're on base housing currently, but they're going to transfer to Florida next year. And they're already looking at houses. And they're saying, okay, my housing allowance is an E6 is X. How much house can we buy for X? And I said, well, you know, they said, because, you know, my housing allowance covers the payment. I said, yeah, unless A, B, C, D, E, F, mm-hmm. then it may not cover the payment, you know. Mm-hmm.
Unless the air conditioner fails.
So, let's, you know, let's talk about this, you know. But yeah, I mean, that was immediately what they gravitated to was, okay, we can get $225,000 because this is the housing allowance.
Well, it's what's also interesting about this study is not only did the better savers, people that saved more in their retirement plans, did they have more modest houses and more modest cars, but they also spent less on food and drink. You know, so, and I think about back in the early days, you know, you guys pick on me for all kinds of stuff, but I think about my early days, my wife and I, we could never go out.
Yeah.
For meals. You know, we can never go out. And it's funny because we developed the habit early on. And partially the reason we could never go out was because I was a financial planner and I thought, I'm a hypocrite if I'm a financial planner and I'm not saving money. And it was for that reason that I developed a habit of saving early on. And then what we did is because I saved, that was my first decision, save first, spend what was left over.
Yeah.
Because I'll never forget John Savage going, you know, two type of people in the world, you know, those that spend first and save what's left over, and those that save first and spend what's left over.
Yeah.
And he would say the first group of people, the ones that save what's left over, anything ever left over? Nope. They're always dependent upon the second group. Because where do you go, he would say, to buy a car? You buy it and you borrow the money from somebody that saved first. Where do you go to borrow to buy a house? From the person that saved first. And he would just go on through a list like that. And he says, which group you want to be in? Then he would cross out the first group and say, you got to pay yourself first. You got to make that payment to yourself first. And what I took from that was I better be that person that does that or I'm a hypocrite.
Yeah.
And that meant that eating out was not going to happen. So what happened is that over the years, once the income went up and everything started getting better, my wife and I got in the habit of just not going out.
Right.
And it's not that it's wrong. It's just a habit that we developed that we didn't do it. And, you know, so sometimes what happens is you developed good habits later on. And, you know, I know, Ira, you like going out to dinner a lot. Right.
I do, yeah.
He does. He loves it. And there's nothing wrong with it.
Because
Ira saves first.
But I also max out my retirement
plans. That's right. He saves first. So there's nothing wrong with it. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with it. I'm just saying that early on, I was so broke I couldn't pay attention.
Yeah.
And that's the way I operated.
I was the same way in the early years when I started in this business. And my wife was a stay-at-home mom and we had two kids. And, you know, it's like we just made sure ends met. And that was it. You know, we didn't go out a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, our big splurge was a pizza on a Friday night that I would bring in.
And yeah, so you've been there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I think it's just interesting to look at that is the difference.
But, you know, one of the things that you talked about earlier about the people who are very successful, they're the ones that come in and I've seen this. They're like, well, are you sure we're really okay? I'm like, yeah, you have like $2 million. You have a paid off house. Your cars are paid off. You have no debt. You have Social Security.
And you're spending $30,000
a year. Right. Yeah. But, you know, I think it's because we tend to compare ourselves to people that are above us.
Right.
We don't look at people that are below us. I see this with clients in California. They're in their early 50s. They're worth about $3 million. They have a $2 million house, and they're worried that they might not get to $5 million in cash assets by the time he's 60. And he's like, I'm so far behind. I'm like, no, you're not. You're fine.
Yeah. That's what we have a tendency to do. So, you know, the key is really getting down to the difference between people that are okay in retirement and those that are not necessarily okay. A lot of it is self-imposed scarcity, is the way we like to put it.
Hey, Paul here. I want to tell you about our next webinar we're hosting. It's on financial planning for families and individuals with special needs. Our very own Chad Henson is hosting the webinar, and he has a passion for helping the special needs community. So he went and got a degree in it. He's going to touch on topics like SSI, Medicaid, SSDI, Medicare, trusts, ABLE accounts, POAs. For individuals and families with special needs, having a financial plan in place that addresses those needs is crucial. So go to paulwinkler.com/webinar to sign up. That's paulwinkler.com/webinar. Or simply click the link in the show notes to sign up.
Hope you enjoyed today's edition of the Investor Coaching Show. If you want to learn more about what we do, go to our website, paulwinkler.com. You can watch some of the videos there, and if you're not already a client, you can set up a free initial consultation. Until next time, I'm Paul Winkler, reminding you that I believe that more educated investors are more confident investors, and confident investors are more successful investors. Have a great one.